I certainly, the last few years, have worked out that I just got to have that flexibility and you can't have too many priority ones.
Welcome to the 39ers podcast. The 39ers are a community of forward-thinking, high-achieving business leaders aged 40 and under, creating a think tank of ideas, inspiration and opportunity that will shape the future of South Australia and beyond. So I'm very excited to talk to our guest today, someone with decades of experience in business. This person has had a part to play in some of the large engineering projects here in South Australia. The business that he's part of has a footprint all across Australia, a deserved 40 under 40 recipient in 2019. Our guest also once owned a brew house in the heart of Adelaide. Welcome the executive chair of MLEI Consulting Engineers. Welcome, Nicholas Murphy.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me today.
It's great to have you here, mate. And so let's start with MLEI Consulting Engineers. What's happening at the moment with that business?
Yeah, so currently we're a firm that's spreading out through Australia. So we've got around 135 staff, predominantly still here in South Australia. So our workforce here is about 80 people with a longer-term view to continue to grow in as a civil and structural engineering provider. Yeah. The last sort of few years, we put a lot of concentration into bringing in specialties within our group. Mm-hmm. So recently we've brought on, when I say recently, last few years, yep. We've got specialised expertise in wineries, specialised expertise in bridges, aquatics and sport facilities, yep. And some of our traditional sort of specialties we're pushing more as well, which is often in sort of modular construction. Yep. One of the largest engineering teams working behind steel framed construction.
Yes.
So we run a large team and I think they do something like 4,000 houses a year, to put it in perspective. So,
wow.
Some very good things have happened the last few years.
Yeah.
Industry's been a bit strange the last few months, and not just here in South Australia, but been some big issues with procurement out of Transport for New South Wales, which is an industry issue.
Yep.
It's impacted that team a lot, but then we put a lot of effort into building our client base and other space, and that's starting to pay off. So it's been hard work the last few months, but some good things have happened. So we're looking forward to finishing this financial year pretty strongly.
And, you know, very impressive, 135 staff, you know, footprint across Australia. So I see that you've got people in the Northern Territory that you service. You've also got Queensland. You've got the Eastern States as well. So you've got a footprint across everywhere.
Our main office is we've got a Melbourne team, which is about 20. There's about 12 working from our Newcastle office, which is our bridge team. Mm. 12 on the Gold Coast, which was a recent acquisition. It's probably about 12 months old. Mm. Some of that was the strategic concept there was we need to get into southeast Queensland. It's probably the best performing major state, and I think that'll continue similar in the way that they deliver work, and it's a lot of relationship based client building. So something that coming from Adelaide you get very good at. So that was targeted, and then Darwin, we got a 4 people up there.
Yep.
Tough area to get people, but we've done some great road projects up there, and so you get some good opportunities. It's just it is hard work for staffing, but we've got some tactics there that will sort of outroll, and some of that's been sponsorship of people overseas and just doing different things to make sure we continue to get good people in our team.
And, you know, people are so important for you and for the business. You've got them spread out everywhere, but it looks like you're really growing and doing well and on all these varied projects as well. It's not just one specialisation that you've actually got. You've got a varied project. So talk us through some of the projects that you've been part of over the last 5 years.
Yeah, look, I'm probably the last sort of 5 years, I have been very much running the business and not involved with a lot of projects. So when I think of our projects, they're often older or strategic ones were delivered. One a very good thing for us at the moment is we've picked up our largest road project with the state government. So one of the major intersections, working direct with the department. Often we've been in partnership with other much larger listed type consulting firms, which is still a good way to win work, but building that direct relationship with the department's very important in civil engineering. So we're very happy that we've secured that. We've worked on a bunch of larger sort of hotels over the last few years. That was sort of where that commercial spending was.
Yep.
Another big area for us is schools. So the shift of year sevens to high school.
Yes.
It was called the Building Better School program. We worked on a bunch of them, which were great jobs and suits the way that we deliver projects well.
Great.
And then, yeah, just generally building our strength in the areas that we supply. We've always batted well above our size in sort of mining and industrial spaces, so stuff that you don't often see. But generally there, we're often working for other engineers. And again, that's why we've always sort of stuck to our civil and structural. And we've built other businesses as partners to get into other sort of projects that you wouldn't get if you sort of stepping on each other's toes. And that's been a very good model for us.
And, you know, you said your role, prior to coming on here, you said that your role has changed over the last, you know, 5-6 months or so, where you've moved out of director role and really stepping out to be more of an executive chair role.
Yeah.
What was the decision behind that?
So, yeah, I think it was about 16 and a half years from since I set MLEI up that I was the MD or ultimately sort of the CEO type role. Just needed a bit more flexibility in my life because I do have some other business interests. I've got 4 children. They're all getting older and, you're very, very busy no matter where you are. And probably just wanted less deadlines within a single day and work on more strategic things where you're working to a goal. It might not be under so much time pressure from a deadline, but you're there to deliver something well. And I think, it just felt like the time was right. It was probably 5 years ahead of where I would have said 10 years ago that I wanted to change.
Yep.
I was still very, very driven, still am, and we want to continue to grow, but my role within that would be less operationals focus, more projects within the team. And the other area that you find when you grow a business is you always got some sort of big rock that someone needs to spend some time on, and this allowed me to be freed up. And if, you know, it might be we've got a recruitment gap in Newcastle, go and spend some time there.
Yep.
Those sort of projects is where, you know, I wanted to spend my time. And there's another person, Ben, one of our other directors. He's very, very capable, been there a long time. And it was bittersweet that he was happy to take my old role over, but it was good because it's important that you've got that strong leadership and, maintained it well.
And so then how have you developed the others around as well? Because it sounds like you're heavily reliant on those people and their skills and the relationships they've got out in the market. So how do you go about and the team goes about building the leadership structure and getting those people right?
Yeah, I think you engineering's a hard industry and you always, even when you go to recruit, you can't just say, I want a 10-year person, I want them to do this. You've got to develop this ability to go, that person's got a skill set, I'm going to bring them in my group. I've identified they're good at this and maybe not good at that and work them within the team. And then I guess, and even probably one of the things I'm most proud of is, you know, we've taken on graduates and they've come, I call them the purebreds. They're people who you've trained, they've come good engineers, but they've also entered into our associate equity program as shareholders.
Yep.
A few around that space are very much will be our key staff going forward in that leadership space. And that's, even when you want to grow, you need people who have been with you. They understand your culture, they understand how you deliver things, which has helped interstate as well as here in South Australia.
So that equity program, that sounds really interesting. How did that come about?
So I actually started MLEI with a chartered accountant. So whilst I was young and stupid, he probably wasn't. And he'd come from an accounting background and had some good concepts. And they always sort of resonated with me. And then we sort of always had that view to have shared ownership, even from, you know, 2007 when we started. A lot of professional services don't, they sort of go a different way, so we're always open to it, and then it, you know, just sort of ticked along, and then the last sort of few years we concentrated on formalising it a bit more, having a plan around it, which has been good and important, and as your firm grows, you get more valuable, so it's harder for people to buy in, so you've got to have some programs around that. We've partnered with Bank SA, they've got a good facility for us, and we see that as a very important part of our future, and it gives people a better sort of risk and reward type profile on an individual basis, and you know, for us, it's a good retention strategy as well as providing something that they're benefiting out of too.
It's a fantastic retention strategy. It's really smart, to your point there, around having the foresight early to have that in as part of a concept and then delivering on it. That's fantastic. And it, you know, probably says why you've been so successful by creating those sorts of programs within your business. It's really interesting. So then, you know, over the years, you would have had some failures there, or lessons, as some people like to call them. Is there any big lesson out there, or failure, anything that you've come across over the years that you go, yeah, that one really stuck with me?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You've got to have a lot of grit in business.
Yeah.
A lot of your failures might not actually come from something you're in control of. We work in a very litigious industry, so we had a big lesson on a insurance claim, something that we were a third party of. It took probably 2 years of my life to resolve that. Wasn't anything necessarily within our I can't even think how to explain it, but essentially we were a third party on it. We had to see it through. Even I learned a lot about myself, like when you've got a big priority like that, you struggle with other tasks. They seem, you know, less relevant. I stopped consulting on other jobs just because I was sort of so busy with that and the business, and you sort of had to concentrate on resolving it yourself, and we did, and you come out bigger, better, stronger. I think the insurance industry, you need to, like I often say as a CEO, my role was insurance and banking, and very much felt like that. Obviously, you're there to set culture and do other things, but spent a lot of time in that space, and I think a lot of small engineering firms don't understand their requirements around insurance. We got our lesson hard and fast early, and we've put a lot of some of its process around how we manage it going forward, and I think it's probably set us for the future up well, despite it being a horrible couple of years, but that's life. And
as you say, as long as you're learning from it and bringing it in so then it doesn't happen again, that's a great one. I really do like that. And then what about success? How do you define success for yourself personally? So you've started up a lot of businesses, from my point of view, you look very successful. You've seen like you got your stuff sorted, which is great. You know, things are happening for
fake
you.
Fake it till you make it.
Love it. Lots of opportunities. So then, how do you define success?
I don't think I've ever fully defined it. I do like achieving a goal, and I do really like business. So it's a hard one. I think certainly going forward, I couldn't take myself away from business. Is something that you're driven to do, and people, even my wife, it's like you can't be so busy, but I'd fill the hole in some way. Maybe I'm crazy and I think too much, but I'm always going to keep myself busy, and often it is in sort of business, and I like that sort of direction, achieving a goal and getting there. I certainly the last few years have worked out that I just got to have that flexibility, and you can't have too many priority ones, and that happens if you cross too many things. And change of role was part of that. We are building a house this year, so I'll be glad when that's off the to-do list. Streamlining some of the things we've done in the other business, and probably do more better than lots is a bit of the philosophy in one of the spaces. Just because, it's even when you're consulting, you often we have to chase projects that are the right size for us, because there's almost as much effort in something that's small as there is in some bigger ones. And I guess that's life lessons I've sort of learnt over, and you often don't really identify them until you sit down and go, I've got to make a few changes. And
bit of reflection there.
Become a better juggler, but
So speaking of juggling, we spoke about MLEI. You've got two other businesses there as well. I think you've spoken about as well. So development business, but then also as well a car hire, was it?
It's a company called Auto Owner. So it was a friend of mine, and he had a business and he had a concept, and he wanted to grow that business, and I had some ideas and helped him with some funding to get there. And in the last 3 years, it's so we only set up 3 years ago, and it's grown a lot, and it's It's got very good bones for a business. It's very scalable.
Yep.
So that's something I want to continue investing my time and direction on. Mm. And I think, yeah, it'll be something that will do very well, touch wood. But
yeah.
It's not without its challenges, like all businesses, but we've overcome them. We've invested a lot in the digital space, which has made it scalable from many perspectives, not just the type of industry you're in, but not having to increase overheads as the business grows. So yep. I think the next few years will be very good in that space.
And it's a very different business structure and model, business model, I would have thought, than it is with engineering and consulting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, different legislations.
Just about everything's different, I would have thought. You sort of look at it and you said about scalability on it, so not relying on people, where I think consulting is more reliant on people. So there's lots in that, for sure.
A smart person who had a big engineering firm once said, once you've done it for a long time, your next business will be making widgets. And I think there's some truth around that. And maybe this is me making widgets in a weird way, but I think all businesses have the same structure, the same structure. They're all complex in their own way, but the basis is the same. I think some of that experience from other areas allows you to think properly when you're setting up a business, and that's why again it goes to being scalable, because we have set it up right.
And just highlights really a couple of times there you've said about it, setting up your business right. You know, it just shows the importance of that, to get it right, set your business up right, then it's easier to have success by the sounds of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it is hard to get that advice early on how to set up businesses. And, you know, I don't know if this is the right analogy, but you might go see your accountant and they'll have a heavy concentration on tax. If you saw a lawyer, they'd have a heavy concentration on managing risk. And then at the end of the day, you're the one who knows where you're going, and you've actually got to make that decision yourself. But be able to get as much information, put it together, and go, this is right, this is what we want to do.
Yeah.
And some of it is probably learning from experience as well helps.
Just give it a go and see how you go. Great. Yeah. So you've had a lot of a lot of time in business. Who do you turn to for advice or help? Is there any particular groups or people that you talk to?
So good directorships always helped at MLEI, and never been on your own. You've always been in a team, so that was good. Probably as we grew, had that feeling that, we've never run a firm with X number of people or X turnover. Yep. So we partnered with a group called Cavio. That's been very good for us. So I met him at a Bank SA business lunch, and we always sort of got along well, and that certainly has helped. So, and a bit more structure around. We always had a strategic plan, but having some structure around it, re-looking at it every quarter, setting some goals, taking responsibility for different aspects of that, and some of that might be projects within the directorship's been good. So that certainly was a step. We've put on a non-executive director, which, they're hard to find, but you've got to find someone that suits your business. And we've got a very good guy. He's come from engineering, but also, we've already got 19 shareholders, so your responsibility around that grows as your business does, and you do probably need to bring that expertise in to make sure you're compliant. And we were, but, thinking of the future, it's hard to have your head in that space if you haven't come from it. So,
that's great. Yeah. So then, looking back over the years, what are you most proudest of?
I think I touched on it before. I very much like the people who have joined at graduate and become part of your future. That's probably this thing that I sort of, resonates mostly with me. You have your head down a lot in business, and you don't really think about it yourself and go, overly happy with happy's not the right word, but you're not satisfied. There's no reason for it. It's just your head's down, you're growing a business. And then probably the last few years I've gone, we've kicked some goals, we've got some good bones. It is less dependent on yourself as well, even though there's aspects that you're still heavily involved with, but you only can get so big before you really need to start sharing that responsibility in different aspects of the business.
And seeing that group of younger team members come through and develop, you know, I'm sure it's got a lot of reward for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So what are you striving for? What's the legacy you're looking to leave here?
I think from an MLEI perspective, we do want to so we've always had a strategic goal to be national, be a very much a go-to civil and structural firm around Australia. Still a long way to go there. You know, recently we did a bit of an exercise on looking at what that looks like and trying to compare it to what's in the market. And there are some examples, but very few, because a lot of firms get bought down at a certain stage. So, and that's been very true for our industry. I guess, you know, over the next sort of 5 years, we want to grow to sort of 300-400 people. I think that's about the target. And grow our specialties interstate. So, you know, our bridge group servicing New South Wales, it's got to service our other areas. And, yeah, so that's, I think, what the future. Yeah, with my other business we talked about, we've set a number of vehicles on the road as a target. Yep. We want to achieve that. We know we have to have lots of access to capital, so we will have to look at bringing that in we've looked at a few different forms, but you know, ultimately it's probably something we want to try to list and get that experience. So we're working towards some of those targets that we've set for ourselves.
That's great. And you've spoken previously about the headquarter base here in South Australia. You know, seeing this business from the outside, it looks like you'd have this business, you know, anywhere in the eastern states. You could set up a headquarters in Queensland quite easily by the sounds of it. Why South Australia?
Certainly with engineering, you know, so there's many reasons to it. Certainly Adelaide, very close to everywhere. You're only a 2-hour plane ride to our furthest office, so it is very good for that. You can get to the airport. I live in Richmond, so it's all pretty smooth process. So I think that's helped grow out of South Australia.
Yep.
From an engineering perspective, you do get some very good engineers here, and I don't know if it's I don't know how to put it, but there's often no room for mediocre.
Yep.
You're either good and you make it, or you might go off into something else out of our industry. So I think some of those people have developed to be very good, rounded engineers, and we've been able to do a lot from them. And that's, you know, might happen in other places too, but certainly we've experienced that you've got some people who have a broad skill set and they've developed some pretty thick skin. It's a fairly parochial sort of city, and, you know, there's no... You know, there's not one lesson at university on how to deal with clients and people. And from day one in engineering, it's as much of a people game as a numbers game. And the people who work that out, they're very, very valuable in our industry. So, and a lot of our professional development programs internally have been around developing people to be better consultants, not just
the skills needed
in engineering, mathematics, and science side. So,
Great. And so, you know, where do you see the opportunities here in South Australia then for your business and beyond?
So certainly concentrating on types of projects, building our relationship with certain clients here in South Australia is a strong focus. Probably reached a point where, you know, from a number of people point of view, there is some growth, but the growth's going to be more around the projects we're chasing and then tailoring our team to those sort of projects rather than just endless growth on numbers of people, if that makes sense. But that's actually a good position to be in. It takes a long time to get there. We sort of identified that that's important for, you know, certainly profitability, because you can structure your teams around the types of projects you're going for. And in the car leasing business, very much a lot of our growth will be interstate, but we are, you know, based here in Adelaide. Again, it's allows us to have good accessibility to everywhere, good people. You know, it's a small sort of 4 or 5 person team, but very much they can do a lot from their PC in that space. And yeah, that's been very good to develop.
And especially if you've got it working here in Adelaide, yeah, they often say if you can get it working in Adelaide, you can go to any other state and get it working quite easily. So
yeah, I think there's some truth behind that.
Yeah.
Probably goes back to even what I was talking about engineers, is you do develop a skill from working in South Australia, and yeah, it goes a long way.
So through the 39ers membership, you've had access to Peter Malinauskas and some of the events there. Yeah. You know, what should we be talking, you know, to our state leaders about here in South Australia and to help us drive this state? What do you think we should be talking about?
Got me there. That's a question I need preparation for, Tim.
No, have a drink.
Yeah, okay. I think from a background of setting up some multiple businesses, I had one that did some R&D. Often people talk about red tape but don't really get it.
Yep.
Big one for me is solving that. And it's not actually the state government, even though they often get targeted. It's all these other sort of areas that fall under it. And, you know, I think of a project that I started, you're dealing with local government. I was dealing with the ATO for some R&D grant. You're dealing with... SA Water, SAPN, even though they're not government, but there's red tape around that.
Yep.
And you could name 25 others, and then you actually have to start and you're dealing with, you know, workplace safety aspects, et cetera. So it goes on and on and on and on. I don't know the solution to it, and a lot of it's really important, but you don't go into government and they're there to help. You go to local government and you're just another problem with another job. And
yep.
I think some of that attitude needs to change, and it should be, yeah, we're here to facilitate an outcome. What you're doing is good, and we're going to make your life easier rather than harder. Yeah, probably from other aspect, because I do some commercial property development. I wrote to the planning minister recently, and I'd be a big advocate for privatising planning. I think even some of the changes they've made recently indicate that they know there's an issue, and it is holding up a lot of progress.
Yep.
And, you know, it only takes a lack of social housing to highlight the need for, I think, better processes around there. And, you know, it shouldn't take someone 8-9 months to get their house approved. It's be a quick and fast process.
When you're talking about better planning, you're talking about better planning approvals, the systems, the processes. Here's an idea. We want to just streamline through. Let's get it through quicker, really, is what you're after.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can start to see if that happened, then everything else will flow on really from it as well.
That's correct. Yep.
Probably help business, I would have thought, actually become more profitable, be more streamlined, actually service their customers as well better as well. So.
I agree. And I think it also demonstrates your progressive place, the more that's happening. And, you know, you might be solving an issue in the building industry, but you're demonstrating that you're progressive and things are changing. And people, you know, I think, especially in the younger cohort, that's what they want to see. And that's something that would attract people back to South Australia, which I think has always been something that people, you know, even in my industry, if you want to work on $200-300 million building projects, you go into state because that's where they exist. And once you make those other decisions in life, you might come back, such as raising kids. And, you know, I think South Australia is a great place to live, and you can often have a purpose, which is easier to work towards. So there are good things, and I think we just need to get that balance better and promote it and provide that sort of gap in between where people might be looking to sneak away for a bit.
And then the 39ers, when you learned about the 39ers and had a chat to Kate about the membership, you know, what drove you to come on board with the team?
I think industry bodies are really important, and they can be overlooked, or the importance of them can be overlooked. There's certainly something, as much as you put in, you'll get out. I do think the 39ers is a great concept, and I liked it. Certainly would have wish I did have more time to invest in some of the things we've done. But, no, certainly have enjoyed the aspects and meeting people so far. Kate had a, I don't know if it was just Kate, but Business SA had a good ability to identify the right people and bring them into a collective group, which has been really good.
And I think that group, as you say, has got a real values and purpose-driven group. They're all about quality, they're all about service, and they're about their people and learning as well. So we're seeing that through the podcast, which has been fantastic and very privileged to be in that position myself to go firsthand with it. So
good MC for the podcast.
Good MC. Yeah, I don't know about that. And then we talk about the events. You know, what's one of the standout events that you've been to where you go, yeah, that was worth my time. That was very valuable for my business or life. Yeah. Anything that
I think even the we went to a race day at Clipsall, so that was good fun and got to meet some people in a social aspect. So
yep.
Yeah.
I think that's the point as well. Is it doesn't have to be an actual event for learning and workshops, and there are value there to be taken from, you know, just talking to other business owners.
Yeah, definitely. People were passing on their, you know, contacts from whether it's clients or consultants that they use to help them in business and things they've done. So, you know, they were collectively like-minded people, different industries I've really enjoyed. So certainly early in my career, I did a lot with our industry body, which, you know, see that you've got a responsibility to dedicate to your industry if you want to change. As I've got busier, I've stepped more away from that, and I certainly enjoyed the industry things I've done with other industries. It's been often more, you know, I guess exciting or interesting learning about other industries when you're stuck in your own a bit. But yeah.
And what do you see with the innovation that's coming out of the 39ers and South Australia? Is there anything out there that really captures your eye and gets you thinking about what you could be doing differently?
I'm a big advocate for innovation, and I think taking a risk is really important. If you look at the history of South Australia, we've done a lot of things as the first state. Yep. I do reckon we've got way too conservative, and there's been less of that. So I might not have a direct answer on what exactly the innovation is that I'm excited about, but I do think we need to take a risk. It's very easy to be, you know, put aside, and, you know, we've got a state full of very capable people who have already got runs on the board, and we should be promoting innovation. You know, I think, you know, the state governments have done some good things around the area, and, you know, there are emerging industries that will continue to promote South Australia.
Yep. Yeah. So we set you up earlier with the billboard question.
Yeah.
So if you can have a gigantic billboard anywhere in the world with anything on it, getting out your message out to millions of people, what would it say, Nicholas Murphy?
I wrote three down, and I haven't settled on one, so I might just run through them all.
Let's go the three then. Let's go. We could do a viewer request. Which one actually fits best?
Yeah, I always it's from a television series, but there's a saying: your biggest fears lie in anticipation. And I think there's a lot of truth around that in business. That you know, you sit around and talk about risk forever, but I reckon if you can manage it, then you've just got to take it on and do it. Mm-hmm. I guess Anna. Probably my favourite author, like a lot of Australians, was Bryce Courtney. One of the sayings in one of his books is always leave a bit of salt on the bread, and I think that's true in negotiation. A lot of what we've done, you've got to continue a relationship after you've had that negotiation, and you've just got to be, you know, if you're negotiating for win-wins, it goes a long way. And then probably a bit more heartfelt one is another Bryce Courtney one's from Power One is first with the head, then with the heart. And I think that's, you know, if you break that down, it's pretty true. And in what I've done, I am a planner, so you got to plan with your head. You got to have a backbone there, and then, you know, the heart's been, you know, think of a better word, but passionate about it and seeing it through it and delivering on it. And if, you know, you got to have that grit, because nothing ever goes smoothly. And if you're goal focused, then you know why you're doing it, and you'll work to it.
Yep. So I can see three scattered around the state, three billboards there. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love how you've broken rank on that and just said, no, we're going to throw three out there. Yeah. That's fantastic. They all resonate, though. They've all got some great depth to it as well. It's very easy to say, very easy to think about, but there's a lot of depth behind them, so it's fantastic. Well, Nicholas, it has been an absolute pleasure having a chat to you. Thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to catching up again at the events and everything else, and look forward to seeing what you do over the next couple of years and turning this business from 135 to 300 plus. So.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for your time, and you've done a very good job with everyone's podcast, so thank you.
Thanks, mate. If you found this episode valuable, be sure to subscribe and stay updated whenever we post new episodes. Stay tuned on our socials for more captivating interviews, intriguing insights, and thought-provoking discussions. Together, let's navigate the ever-evolving world of business in South Australia.
I'm Tim Lavis. Until next time, drive the change.